What's up, everybody? My name is Brandon Jarrell. This is Good Marriage, Great God. With me, as always, is my beautiful wife,
Kim.
Today, we're so happy. We have so much content that we want to share with you guys. But let's start with a cool little article that you were looking up, I guess.
Well, I didn't cue the music yet.
Oh.
When does that happen?
Well, you can roll that out right now if you want.
Yeah. Cue the music.
It's you and me, baby. Against all odds, we got a good marriage because we serve a greater God. Good marriage.
I love our theme music.
Me too.
It's pretty dope.
So I was reading an article on Good Housekeeping called The One Thing Happy Couples Do Every Day to Keep Their Marriage Strong. And it totally got me. I was like, oh, I bet it's like all this like awesomeness about date nights and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but it actually, this person, Julie Morgenstern, who wrote this book called Time to Parent, mm-hmm. She interviewed over 100 couples and actually found that the strongest couples did one or both of these things. Okay. They did short check-ins with each other each day. And especially if they were parents, they used email to take care of day-to-day household, like logistics and arrangements. And I thought that was interesting because, seeing that the strongest couples basically were the ones who managed logistics well, was slightly surprising, but I guess it shouldn't have been, you know? Like, when like all the duties of running a household are under control, you have more time available to be able to actually enjoy your time with each other.
Yeah.
Or there's no time being wasted on like, gosh, you say you're going to do that, but you didn't do it, or you know, things like that. If the logistics are already dealt with, by the time you get home with a little bit of time you have left, you can just use that time for connecting.
Yeah, for sure. I know anything to help facilitate conversation in a relationship, I'm for. You know, I know that's something that we used to do. I think our counselor, like the first time we did counseling together, that was one thing they recommended, that we do check-ins mm-hmm. with each other, like weekly check-ins, daily check-ins. You know, the email thing is the hiccup, I guess, for us, because like I'm just starting to get a good handle on emails. Like, I've never been a huge fan of emails, never been very good about responding to emails in an adult timely manner. I'm more so like a phone call, text message type of guy, but I'm learning and I'm getting better with emails.
I'm not quite sure how you've gone this long, like without not...
Because I'm
having some serious repercussions of being
For the most of my life, like I've been in situations to where the people I'm emailing are in the same office or in the same building or the same room, you know, and I was able to like see the email and I respond to it in real time. Like, I would knock on your door. Oh, here's what you asked for. You know, but like I did well in life. It wasn't like it destroyed me very much, but I think where I had issues were like it was in our relationship. It was like, how are you living without these emails, man? You need to get your email game popping. And I feel like I'm doing better. Words of affirmation.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You are doing better.
Thank you.
You are. Another point in the article was that people who did that regular check-in were less likely to basically just inadvertently have problems, you know, that just like get ignored or mm-hmm. fester and, you know, turn into big problems that could cause like rift in the relationship. So mm-hmm. those check-ins, whether by email or in person, was like good for also kind of like nipping things in the bud.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, man. It is real cool. Thank you for looking that up. You know,
so simple.
It is. It's something very simple, and you know, it's a good way to, like I said, it's a great way to communicate, you know, and a great way to serve each other, you know. And I feel like, in, especially in marriage and just the way that we're wired, God wired us to serve one another. And I think within the confines of marriage, within the, like, since we're talking about marriage, I feel like it's almost a ideal practice ground for, like, serving. You know, I feel like people who are married should be, like, some of the best servers in the world, because you have the opportunity, you have a chance to practice serving, you know. And I know for us, one of the key things was when we discovered this book called The Five Love Languages, you know, and it presented an opportunity for me to learn, okay, what in the world is love languages? And how do love languages work for me and for my spouse? You know, and if you're not familiar with five love languages are words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts or giving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. And, you know, I learned some of these I already knew, like, just off of hearing it and seeing it at face value. I was like, okay, this is for me. I know physical touch for sure. That's a love language of mine. And I know words of affirmation, you know, and,
And most people tend to fall into one of these as their way that they prefer to, are most receptive to receiving love, if it's in the form of one of these categories. I think it's cool because it almost always, you know, I've yet to run into anyone who didn't fall into one of them. And it's usually like another secondary one, you know, too. Like maybe, like, you know, that your physical touch is probably number one. And words of affirmation is probably second.
I think words of affirmation is number one. And I think as the older I get, it becomes that, you know, the more I grow into manhood, you know, for whatever reason, it's like the older I get, the more I feel like I need, you know, words of affirmation, you know, more so than physical touch. You know, because, like, for me, it's words of affirmation says, like, I see you and I see what you're doing, and what you're doing is valuable to me. You know, that's what words of affirmation does for me. Physical touch is like, I'm here for you, you know, and I care for you.
Like, physically. You
know, physically.
So, like, Ash, not just saying it, but, like,
yeah,
showing, like, showing it physically. Hugs, and holding hands.
And actually, I have more than two. I also have quality time is a love language of mine. I love spending time with, you know, and that's more of a broader one. That's not just the way I receive love with my spouse, but, like, I love quality time with friends and family and, of course, my loved ones, you know. But, yeah, you know, I think to some degree, I think I identify with all five, but it's just some of those are heavier and they are more valuable. I see them as more valuable than the others.
I'm almost 40%. Actually, no, I know I'm at least 40% acts of service. So that's my number one love language, which is actually your number four. Just 10% for you. And then quality time is both of our number two. Both equally 27%.
Like, bam.
Yeah, you know, I think that's something that I have to take advantage of, because that's the one love language that we share. But it's funny how we spend that quality time is different because of how of our other love languages. You will probably more prefer, like, sitting maybe watching a movie, staying close, whatever. Well, I mean, it's like,
let's do something.
Let's go do something.
Let's do it. Let's take on a chore together. Let's clean the house together.
I mean, I don't want to do those things.
I know. Sometimes you, like, if it was, like, I think when we were painting your bookshelf, you know, or, like, when we built the coffee table,
Yeah.
You know, that was like, I felt like that spoke to both active service and quality time, because it was something we looked on Pinterest, you know, we got it done together. But yeah, like cleaning the house, you prefer that be already done so we can, don't have to worry
don't
about
have
it.
To, like,
and we can like play a game or something like on our quality. For quality time.
Yeah. Or, you know, get something accomplished that's, like, something that we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not, like, have to do.
Yeah. Makes sense.
I actually think it's pretty lame that when all our quality time is doing things that we have to do.
Yeah.
Lame.
Lame.
But that's why I do appreciate, like, as much that can get done just on a daily basis. So that, like, when I get to my day off, it's not, like, 80% doing stuff that has to get done.
True.
I mean, you really start to lose steam in life when that happens. I recommend that everybody takes at least a quick, like, 5 love languages quiz, whether you're in a relationship or not, because I think it's important information to know just in general, like, what your love languages are. It is applicable when it comes to, like, in educating people on how they can best show love to you, whether as friends, family, like whatever.
Yeah.
But it's also just like, it's great. I mean, the more you learn about yourself and have clarity about yourself, I think the better.
Yeah. And
I found it very empowering.
For sure. Like,
to find out, like, yeah, acts of service, that's right up my alley.
And I recommend that you also go purchase the book. I know we need to get another copy because it's good to have that refresher.
Yeah. I know. I borrowed it out to somebody. I think this is the second copy, actually, I borrowed out to somebody that it never made its way back.
Because it's that good.
It's a good book. It's a good book.
You get a borrowed copy and never return it.
I think I'm going to hunt down my copy. I think I know who has it.
But really, really good. really, you know who you are.
You know who you
are. You see this video. Return our stuff, man.
You know who you are.
Yeah, man, but great resource, you know, like it's so important to know yourself and to know your loved one. And if you're single, don't let being single be an excuse not to do the research on like how you receive love, you know, because like you said, it's a great way to communicate to your friends, to anyone who cares about you, like how you best receive love. And you know, it just makes the quality of love you receive, like, imagine if people know how to show love to you, like, you're just going to feel so much more loved, and it's, people just they don't have to guess.
They don't have to guess.
You know, and like if you got someone in your life who's trying to buy your affection and your love language isn't gifts, you might as well tell them, hey, you might as well save your money, because this isn't my love language. Yeah. I would much rather you spend time with me.
Also. I think I have an unpopular love language.
You know, act of service?
I don't mean unpopular, like not many people have it. I mean unpopular because it's not deemed very romantic.
Oh, it's not sexy.
Yes.
It's not a sexy one.
Yeah.
Well, if I was a handyman and like I loved fixing stuff, like just doing stuff, you know, that'd be lit.
It would be. It's sassy to me. But I don't know. I don't know. I think it's like, it makes me feel like not, like I'm not all that romantic or sassy of a person. Like, because, I don't know. I think I receive love. I receive love more if you, like, go get the, like, oil change in the car versus, like, a bouquet of flowers.
It's language, so we gotta.
I guess who cares? You know, that's society. You know, that's society. You know, creeping into my psyche. I think of what's okay.
What you looking up?
I don't know the 5 love languages book, but it did just remind me of this book. I remember that Things I Wish I'd Known Before We Got Married. That was a good book.
What are some things you wish you'd known before we got married? Oh, I feel like this get ugly.
It's like I knew intellectually, but I wish I fully, I had an understanding that marriage would be like a mirror. Mm. Because by the time we got married, or was about to get married, I felt very much, you know, aware of myself. I felt like I was fully in adulthood and living life as a adult. I felt happily mm-hmm. single and content, and didn't felt like anything I needed to work on, I have worked on personally already, and I was my best self physically and mm-hmm. mentally and everything. And then, like, I realized that I actually still had things to work on when I got married. And yeah. I was like, but I didn't know exactly that was going to happen, but I definitely feel like God was preparing my heart for that. That I was like, all right, if I'm committing to this, that means that I'm ready for anything that might happen, including the fact that I might find out that I'm a sucky wife or something. Like, I remember at least telling myself that, like, I was like, I might get married and find out, yep, you suck as a wife, man. I thought that the epitome of life was being fully independent, mm-hmm. and that anything less was weakness. But then within marriage, you develop an interdependence. And for some reason, I thought I had a healthy view of what interdependence was, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. I did not. So, like, anytime we kind of started showing signs of that interdependence, I was fearful of it, because I was like, oh no, that, you know, that I'm losing my independence. Uh-huh. And like, and it's not that. It's like mm-hmm. it is. There's a necessary weaving of two individuals.
Yeah.
That is interdependence, and that can be very healthy.
It's definitely versus, a dance. Versus like, it's a dance. It's like managing your own independence at the same time of being interdependent on, like, with each other. You know.
But just like navigating that, like knowing, trying to figure out where is the boundary, because I felt like I was mm-hmm. constantly looking for the boundary line to make sure
we're not. It's very blurred.
Yeah, it's hard to like be like, is this interdependence? Is this, you know, just dependence, like mm-hmm. unsafe, you know, unhealthy dependence, or am I just like, or does it like not matter? Mm-hmm. You know, like, cause yeah, it does get kind of gray.
Yeah.
And I just really, like didn't realize that I like idolized my independence. Mm. So that was another thing that I learned. It wasn't until I was married that I realized that. I just thought that I was a, you know, a healthy, like, strong Black woman that knew how to get things done herself, mm-hmm. and nothing is wrong with that.
And but, you are that.
Yeah, like, that's what I was like, there's nothing wrong with that. But then I also almost put myself up on a pedestal, mm-hmm. you know, a bit. Not intentionally, but I think I kind of always, like, leveled myself up a little higher than those who needed people, mm-hmm. or, like, were dependent on others, even interdependent on others. I pride myself on that independence. And that has there's boundaries with that, too. Like, that can become an unhealthy view. And I think I was kind of dancing into, like, unhealthy view. I think I did. I got myself to a level that was necessary for my own healing. Mm-hmm. From, like, failed relationships and, like, you know, like, intimate relationships and family relationships. But to a certain extent, I started to take that a little too far. That it came, like, I don't know. Like, I won't say a crutch, really, because it was, like, the opposite. I felt like I ain't need anybody or anything. I was like, I need no one. Mm-hmm. And I was very happy that I didn't need anybody.
I don't need you.
I don't need you. I feel like I said that probably to you. Something like, you here because I want you to be here. I don't need you.
No, I don't recall. I don't recall. You probably just thought that.
I'm sure I did.
Probably thought it real strong to where strongly. It manifests as reality.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And then now I'm in deep. Mm-hmm. I'm in deep. And I do sometimes tell, you know, every once in a while I tell myself, like, I mean, you don't need Brandon. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm like, where is that coming from? Where I feel like I have to, like, remind myself of that. That, like, I'd be able to be fine without you. And then I'll say that, like, and it's, I'm not saying it because, just because it's true. I'm saying it because it's almost like I'm preparing my spirit for if you were to just, like, be gone.
That makes sense.
You know, like, but I shouldn't have to.
It's a defense mechanism.
I think it's just like a defense mechanism of trying to prepare yourself. Because this is what I was trying to avoid. I had no intentions on remarrying. So, like, the fact that I got myself into the one thing I said I wasn't going to do again, I was like, man, now here I am. Deeply connected with somebody.
I told y'all I was out of the game.
Any point, the other shoe gonna drop and it's gonna be like, ha! Mm-hmm. This is why you should stay to yourself, independent, single, disconnected from people. Because then you won't get hurt when something happens to them when they go and they're not in your, you know, deeply woven into your life. It's not a healthy way to be.
It's not.
That's not for sure. It felt healthy.
A trick from the enemy. Like, we need each other. Like, at the end of the day, like, God has hardwired us for community, you know? And to say to yourself, like, well, I don't need you, or, like, well, I don't need this person or that person, you know, it's really a lie. I mean, there's certain people you can do without. I mean, but I'm speaking in the grand scheme of things, you know, you know, like, you need people.
Okay, it took me, I feel like, well into, like, my, like, probably early 30s to realize that how important community is. But gosh, I really was enjoying life and, like, just being, you know, to myself. Mm-hmm. And I kind of pretended to be in community, but it was very one way. Like, I would help others, reach out to others, but I really didn't let people do much of that with me. Mm-hmm. You know?
I feel like all of a sudden you got real close. Like, you're in danger of getting kissed in the mouth.
Hey, I'm not going to complain about that. But I'm leaning towards you because, you know, my back hurts because I'm a woman going through a cycle.
It makes sense. Mm-hmm. Checks out.
Yeah.
It happens.
It's life.
Yeah.
For some reason, I safeguarded myself. I tried to protect myself by, like, being just this standalone entity that didn't need anybody. And that's really all. Oh, yeah.
So you wish.
A lie.
You wish you knew how much marriage would reveal about you.
Reveal it. So
prior to getting married,
yeah, so starkly,
yeah,
it was really clear right up front how harmful that thinking would be to my marriage. Mm-hmm. It revealed how harmful that thinking was in my previous marriage because both my ex-husband and I thought that same way, and I could see how my mindset like that would just drag us down. Mm. And stifle our growth. What did you wish that you knew before we got married?
I was trying to think as you were speaking. I think I knew, but I didn't know, right? Like, if that makes sense. It's like you have an idea of, like, yeah, marriage is challenging. Marriage, like, kind of reveals. Like, it's similar to yours. Like, because I came into marriage with, like, rose-colored lenses, so to speak. Like, I just, like, oh, man, everything's going to be dope. You know what I'm saying? I already know the commitment level I'm coming into this thing with, blah, blah, blah. You know, I just thought everything was going to be good. As soon as we both said I do, all my problems would vanish and would be good. But the same problems, I wish I would have known in my hearts of hearts that the same problems that I had before marriage won't magically disappear after marriage, but in fact, in many cases, they would grow, you know, or not really grow, but like,
I think it puts a magnifying glass.
They'll be magnified. Like, marriage is like a mirror. Like, so it shows you. And, you know, so, like, all those problems is, like, it's just put on blast, like, right in front of me. And it's like, oh, man. You know, and those problems are still there. They don't really go away. You know, something that I wish I'd done before marriage is I wish I would have really practiced discipline before marriage. You know, because that's one thing that I personally struggle with within marriage, like just discipline with following through with certain things that I say. The discipline of, you know, I think that's the big one. The discipline of, like, if I say I'm going to do something, make sure I move heaven and earth if I can to do what I said I was going to do. You know, and that's one thing that I'm learning and I'm striving for. Won't say that like I'm 100% there, because, you know, one of the ways that I grew up was like, it was, you know, I grew up with it being my reality that people didn't really do what they say they're gonna do, you know, and that's the behavior that I learned, you know, and God willing, I can not pass that behavior down to the next generation, so. Cause
I ain't having it.
She ain't having it. All right.
Yeah. Not having it.
Yeah, so
not having it.
Yeah, and I think it was what's her name? Megan Good's husband. What's her, you know, her husband's name?
Not off the top of my head. I could look it up though.
But like I saw him on Instagram and like he was talking about discipline. He was like, in your singleness right now, focus on discipline. Be disciplined. He was like, every man needs discipline. And I'm listening to him. I'm like, man, you in my house right now.
Devon Franklin.
Mr. Franklin, that was a good word, man. Appreciate you.
Well, wait, what did he say?
He was like, As a man, especially in your singleness, before you seek out like a wife or anything like that, you should be seeking discipline. It's like discipline is something that every man should have, and that every man should be disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you should seek discipline. You know, and I realize it's so true, because every time I set myself up. To be disciplined, like when I stay true to a to-do list, when I make a plan or a vision and I stick to the plan, I stick to the vision, you know, it works out for me. And like, I feel better about the things that I accomplish when I've planned it and I stuck to the plan, you know. And even if the plan goes south, I plan again, I go back to the drawing board and continue planning. It makes whatever you accomplish valuable, like when you have discipline to see it to its completion. So, yeah.
Word.
One thing that really helped me with tackling my issues with my lack of discipline was creating and sticking to a to-do list. There's this cool app. I found it in the Apple App Store called Focus Keeper. It helps to keep me like focused on a particular thing, because I have the issue of I start something and then I get distracted by something else that needs to get done. I stop this to do that, and then I do stop that to do this, stop that to do something else, and by the time I look up, I have all these started projects but nothing's finished. So Focus Keeper is a great way to start and finish things. And even like if you have one huge project and it's one thing you're working on, it helps to, you know, kind of break it up into bite-sized chunks for you so that you're not pulling out your hair by the end of the day. So two really quick resources or things that I do to keep me on track.
Childish Gambino got song of the year.
Hey.
Just thought I'd just, you know.
This is America.
Put plop it out there because that was my favorite song of the year as well. So, and first hip hop song to get song of the year.
And that's
which
huge.
Which is hard to believe, but gosh, man, we got a long ways to go, man. But talk about, so just etching in stone.
Yeah.
Just the tone.
Childish Gambino is winning at life, man.
Well, I mean, it's more than just like about him, though. Like, it's like just the message of that song and just like how people quickly connected to it and even made like some of their own versions for other countries, like for, to just highlight the side of the country that just like gets ignored, you know, and putting it out there creatively, you know, the cinematography, the storytelling of the video itself.
And that was the win for me, the cinematography of the music video.
Yeah.
Like, even above, like the song. Not this isn't shade at Childish Gambino.
Yeah, it is.
Like, no, it's not. It's not. It's not any shade, but I feel like, to me, I could have watched the video on mute, and it still would have spoke volumes.
Yeah.
So, this is no shade. And you're making it feel like, like a shade, but it's not shade.
It is
shade.
Because I wasn't talking about just him and the song. I was talking about the video and the cinematography. And you're like, yeah, because the cinematography.
I thought you were talking about the song and cinematography. So maybe that's a diss on your part.
No.
And projection.
No, it isn't.
Yo, Childish Gambino, man, don't come at me, bro. Don't come at me, bro. Like, no. This is all love. You know what I'm saying? We went to see the Chappelle Show live in concert. You were there. You killed it. I love, like, your show. I love your showmanship. I love your live performance. So don't come at me. It was her fault. She brought it up. This is America. Oh, yeah, but don't come at my wife either, bruh. Thanks for joining us at Good Marriage, Great God. Again, my name is Brandon Jarrell. This is Kim. Till next time.
Hey guys, thank you for tuning in. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Kim.
And this has been Good Marriage, Great God. Hey, if you like what you heard today, be sure to comment, like, subscribe.
You could find us on social media, on Instagram or Facebook at Good Marriage, Great God.
Till next time.